Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, oh boy, we are getting close, but man, it seems like it's taking forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for your strength, for we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all of your suffering. Thank you for your mercy endures forever. As you said, Father, over and over again, and I don't know which psalm it is, but it just goes on and says, your mercy endures forever. Father, we praise you for bringing us to where we are and giving us the strength to be able to endure with the patience of Job. Sometimes it gets to us. Sometimes we have roller coaster emotions, but we pray, Father God, more than anything, that you will help to instill upon us anointing and anointing of self-control so that it doesn't get to us to a point where, well, we end up having high levels of frustration that lead to less than holy, you know, maybe we just get too frustrated and we can't, you know, maybe we drop a colloquialism or two. And we just pray, Father, that you'll forgive us in advance because we are human. We have one foot. No, actually, we have metaphorically, as you know, Father, 2 feet inside of a very deep cesspool of darkness that the vast majority of our fellow brothers and sisters across the world are completely unaware of. And it befuddles us. And it's a very, very difficult place to be, a burden that's extremely hard to carry. Help us to continue to pray for the salvation of the souls who do not understand. Help us to continue to pray for those who are in the evangelical churchianity crowd who don't understand that this is the Star of Remphan. They don't understand prophecy reestablishment of the state of Israel by Jeremiah was actually talking about the state of Israel that existed, or, you know, the Israel, not the state, but the Israel that existed when Jesus was born. It's just a shame. And so many of them were falsely and negatively and demonically tricked by the Schofield stuff. And it's so many of them. And people do not understand. They're beside themselves. They look, people like Tucker Carlson, they look at the behaviors and they cannot understand it. People are looking at people singing Jesus songs inside the White House. I've always wondered, Father, and I still will never completely understand unless you tell me, Jesus, how is it that somebody who's, you know, perhaps has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but cannot tell that they're standing in the presence, that they're holding the hand, that they're laying their hands on a Draco Reptilian, on a magician level Scottish Rite, warlock. How is it they can't tell? And I don't understand that. I never will. I don't want, you know, at this point, I'm okay not understanding it. I see it. I acknowledge it. And I pray that everybody that watches, I'm sorry, listens to this program does as well. So many more are waking up, Father God. So many more are waking up. We praise you for that, for your mercy does endure forever. We pray that you will, in accordance with Matthew 18:19, where two or more are gathered together on this earth, concerning anything that they pray for, in the name of Jesus, that it shall be given them. And Father, we pray that we will be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Digital ID. Social credit scores, the complete takeover of all money systems, The FEMA camps are already there, Father. The demonic takeover of the soon-to-be fully established in the West Noahide laws are really just a flip of a switch away. The fourth seal, the third seal, they're so deeply progressed. It's hard to differentiate. It's hard to be able to figure out where we are amidst them, except that we're a hair trigger away from their full effect of befalling the entire West. How amazing it is that the fourth seal talks about the horse's name being death. And that's all we see. It hasn't kicked in all the way yet, Father. But we see it. We feel sorry for our fellow brothers and sisters who don't. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you, Father, out of your mercy, out of the multitude of your tender mercies and loving kindness, as David said in Psalm 51, that you will allow something extremely big to happen. It rains on the just and the unjust. And as it says in Isaiah 57, verse 1, the righteous perish, but no one takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. We praise your holy name, Father God, and we ask you in Jesus' name to block the eyes and the ears. Make good eyes blind, good ears deaf to those who do not understand these things, those who have no business listening to this. We rebuke their very presence and we declare in the name of Jesus that their electronic connections will be cut off in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we praise you. We thank you for your divine protection and that we are able to continue. Because it comes real close sometimes that we can't. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you forever and ever. Oh, Lord, we want to come home. We thank you forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Let's kick it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
What? It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to have to be dorking around with the sound controls here. So I was going to do a program yesterday. I had everything queued up. I had a plan for a plan of attack so that there would be some continuity and harmony in the way that the information was presented. However, my website was hacked. So, I don't know. It did not look like... Look... Somebody asked me, you know, why would somebody hack a website, this, that, or the other thing, and stuff like that. Nowadays, it used to be hacktivism, and they would go in and they would hack some government website and said, we're big, we're bad, we're the hacker group Anonymous, or whatever the case is. I've actually responded to government agencies in the past because their websites were hacked. Nowadays, usually it's just to take it down, but they didn't take it down. I'm not going to get into the details of what all happened, but it was, let's just say it was about 2 to 3 hours of expensive and agonizing frustration on the phone with, the GoDaddy support representatives. But I went ahead and I paid the price and got some higher level security installed, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if it lasts. I do want to give you some early warning. If the website gets taken out by you-know-who, hopefully you-know-who, the SOS. Now understand, SOS, Synagogue of Satan, Trago T, you should know who that is by now. If you don't, think. Put your thinking cap on. He's a draconian. He's a Draco. They shapeshift into human bodies. They're like walk-in demons. They're very powerful. And Christians cannot tell. They can be anointed with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues until they're blue in the face. And if they lay their hands on that person, they will not be able to tell that person is a Draco reptilian. I guarantee it. I went out on purpose just to run a test with one of the senior elders of a non-denominational evangelical Holy Spirit theoretically filled church, although I found that their absence of speaking in tongues very troubling. Didn't do it much. I mean, if you heard it like once in a year, it was like a lot. But anyway, I befriended one of the senior elders there, and we went out to Outback Steakhouse, and I said, well, what do you think about Herbert Walker Bush, or George W. Bush? And he's like, oh, he's a wonderful Christian. I met him in person in Washington, D.C., and we shook hands. And I'm thinking to myself, I had just read the book, Transformation of America, okay? And, you know, she had seen Bush turn into a reptilian. Now, she thought it was because she was drugged, but that's not why. It was because he was a reptilian, okay? And the problem is, Holy Spirit-filled, anointed, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptized in fire, tongue-speaking Christians, for the love of Jesus, cannot figure out. They can touch them, they can hug them, they can lay hands on them until they're blue in the face, and they cannot tell that they're Draco-reptilians. It's enough to make me want to just freak out. But anyway, chill pill Johnny, chill pill Johnny. All right, so I have so much to cover right now because of the delays associated with the website hack. I'm just going to start right here and play this for you. Right now, this is the state that the Hormuz situation is currently in. So listen to this. All right, let me go ahead and pause it and cue it up. All right, I've got to bring my volume level. As I recall, the volume's quite low. All right, this is the United States. It appears to me to be, well, they got rid of the heavy cruisers. Could be a fast frigate. I don't know. But anyway, this is what they're telling everybody that's approaching. Draco T and all of... we have to remember, here's the problem. Again, here's the problem. You got to understand the end game. And I'm sorry if I explain this too much, but I have to. Because I'm getting notifications from my various website features that there's a significant increase in new listeners, which is good. Praise the Lord. I praise Jesus. But we're also talking about things here that we've been talking about for 14 plus years, backed by prophecies that we've been monitoring for equally as long. Now, I stopped monitoring prophecies after 2016. And the reason for that is because someone, and I don't know who it was, could have been an angel for all I know, sent me a link to the Stanley Frodsham prophecy. Stanley Frodsham was the best friend of Smith Wigglesworth, and he was the author of his biography. And he was given a Mac Daddy prophecy about God sending down what's called seducing spirits. God himself sent down seducing spirits. See, this is just like 1 Kings 22, what verse is it? But anyway, where God says, you know, he sat in the multitude of spirits, you know, all around him. I called them spirits, but really what they were is minor gods. Okay, so it's kind of a translational thing. And he says, you know, he's having a conference with them. And he says, you know, how will we cause King Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? And then it goes on to say, well, one said one thing to the other, and another said another thing to another, and blah, 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 blah. And they're chattering amongst each other. And one of them stepped forward and said, I know, I will go down and become a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And our Heavenly Father says, you shall and you will be successful. Now, if you have any question in your mind that God calls conferences and talks to the other minor gods, which we're about to be when we, you know, get out of here, thank you, Jesus. That's why Jesus said in John 10:34, have I not said ye are gods? And the scripture cannot be broken. Which, by the way, is a sister verse of Psalm 82, where it talks about where God says, I stand in the congregation of the mighty. I judge amongst the gods, little g gods, little g gods. Why is our Heavenly Father called Yahweh El? Look that up. God of gods. It's so cool. When you get your arms around how cool this is, that the gap theory is not a gap theory, that there was a Luciferian rebellion, that it's that you know, our pre-existence is nailed. Just use the New Living Translation and look at Psalm 139, verse 16. You can use the King James, but you won't understand it. You can use the New King James, and it does kind of a not-so-good attempt at getting it close, but the one that really nails it is the NLT. That smashes it out of the park. If it was Babe Ruth, it would bounce all the way out of the ballpark and then hit the next state's ballpark and bounce off that and go to the next state's ballpark and then roll into some parking lot three states down. That's how hard it would hit. Okay, it's just amazing. And then you have so much information on our pre-existence. It's unbelievable. Not everybody's part of the elect. But a lot of people don't understand that. I've talked about the election process before. I wish I had more time to do shows and educate people and bring them up to speed on some of the things that the Lord has shown us over the last 14 years. It's so advanced. I mean, you can explain to somebody when they say to you, well, if God is all love, then why in the world wouldn't he have wiped out and killed Lucifer, the devil? Well, the answer is very simple. Lucifer was God's greatest created being. And Jesus was begotten, which is like an amoeba splitting. There wasn't any brotherhood or kinship like the Church of the Latter-day Saints thinks. That's baloney. It's baloney. None. However, God revered him. And he was at the architectural table with Jesus, with our Father, when the universes were established and designed. And I did say universes. It's plural. Trillions of life forms. This is some amazing stuff. And remember, Lucifer was A-OK taking control of the Morningstar office. Until sin was found in him. How do you suppose that happened? Because somebody went back to the heavenly office of God and ratted him out. Oh, I thought God micromanaged everybody. No, he does not. This stuff is all so exciting. I just get pumped. I just want to jump out of my skin. Well, I'm going to be jumping out of my skin hopefully pretty soon here. As soon as that giant copper ball. A lot of people are like, what's up with the copper ball spaceship? And I think I really need to republish the David Doetry vision on Tribulation now that I got it fixed. Hopefully it stays fixed. If the SOS is trying to attack me, I'm doomed. No, I'm not. Because you know why? Death has no grip over me. The only thing I pray is if, and I don't see this happening. I don't have the, if they haven't taken out Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens yet, you know, I'm so far down on the list. I'm like in the basement minus some. Well, I shouldn't say that because then there's probably an underground thing that was, you know, connected to Epstein and goes through the tunnels over in New York where they were doing horrible things to little children. You know, the synagogue of Satan and all of their, you know, Babylonian Talmudic, you know, Chabad Lubavitch evil. Ah! They're all from the land of Khazar. The Khazarian Mafia. That's why I got my book right here. Okay, fiddle faddle. I got it here somewhere. I just don't have it beside me. But anyway, it's the whole history of that and how it all went down. But the Chabad Lubavitch is 80% of the population of what is referred to as Israel today, had nothing to do, 1947 was not Israel. That's a Schofield lie from hell. If you want to understand what the Schofield lies are, I'm going to talk to you about them right now. Let me go ahead and beliefs. Okay, so the Schofield beliefs. This is what we're dealing with in evangelical Christianity. They have bought hook, line, and sinker, the Schofield belief system. Now, there have been a lot of prominent Christians over the years, especially for, an excellent example is Marvin Rosenthal, who is a Jewish man, who was the head of the largest pre-trib rapture organization in the entire world, located in Israel. And he kept looking at it and looking at the Bible, looking at this, looking at that, and kept on going, you know what? I don't see it. I don't see anything that says anything about a pre-trib rapture. So he wrote a book called The Pre-Wrath Rapture of the Church. Well, lo and behold, when you line up 1 Thessalonians 5:9 with Revelation 6:17, it supports everything that Marvin said. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, we are not appointed to wrath. And Revelation 6:17 says, and the day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Those two go hand in hand, and any other teaching out there is a lie from the devil. Sorry, but we don't have enough time to, you know, pussyfoot around. We got to get to the point. So anyway, they believe in dispensationalism. Okay. Now, what they use dispensationalism to do is to break the Bible into different sections like innocence, conscience, human, government, promise, law, grace, and kingdom. And they even go as far as to say, oh, well, you don't have to do what Jesus said when, you know, in the Gospels, because he was talking to the Jews and it's only applicable to the Jews. Well, I'm thinking, well, if that's true, then Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 don't apply to any of us either. It's all dorked up really, really bad. Okay. All right. Also, you've got where is it? Support for the notes, cap theory, biblical interpretations. Oh, I made one and I gave it to one of my colleagues and I've lost it. So anyway, let me go ahead and see if I can find it, if she included it. If she didn't, then I just got to be mad at myself. And I think I'm going to have to be mad at myself. No, here it is. Okay, so one of the other things that Schofield taught, and he was absolutely of the devil. He was paid for by Satanists. It was all done on purpose to mislead the vast majority of Christians on the earth. On purpose! By the devil! So another thing that he believed in very strongly is Christian Zionism. Schofield was taught to put into the books he had this like row, this column in between the two where the text flowed, and he would make little comments and everybody's going, oh, well, that's really ingenious. Instead of saying, this man's coming from the devil, which is what they should have said. See, I was fortunate because I was never a part of a Schofield taught evangelical church system. And if I was in one at one time, they didn't talk about it. But nowadays, whew, look out, it's everywhere. So you got people like Tucker Carlson going, how in the world can it be Jesus-like to kill tens of thousands of babies and crush them under rubble? Which is, by the way, what the synagogue, SOS, synagogue of who, 80% of the people there are SOS. They might not know it, but from a DNA standpoint, that's why DNA tests are illegal over there. Did you know that? Did you know that Netanyahu actually has a picture of a hypodermic needle inside of, like, plexiglass on his desk? The hypodermic needle plot. That stuff is just so long. I just need hours and hours and hours and hours to cover all this stuff. But the thing is, if you don't understand that Jesus in the New Testament, which is known as the Brit Hadashah, okay, that's what, you know, the people who speak Hebrew like to call it. Although they're busy telling everybody that Jesus is boiling in a vat of feces forever and ever, and all this other horrible stuff. Again, the prophecies about the return of Israel were prophesying about the Israel that existed when Jesus came to the earth, not 1947. It says Schofield, I'm going to say, demonically wrote, no, I'm not going to say believed, demonically wrote that the Jewish people would return to Palestine, a move he viewed as preceding the millennium. His notes in Genesis 12:3 emphasize that nations blessed by supporting the Jew, you know, the state of Israel, okay, the 1947 state of Israel would be blessed by God, influencing modern evangelical support when they don't even realize who they are. So they're basically praying. They don't understand that a covenant is a contract. It's an eternal contract. So when you take communion with Jesus, it says, on the day in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he broke it and said, and gave thanks and said, here, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But then he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. That new covenant is a contract. It's an eternal contract. And it was established at Passover before he went to the cross. That's a long time ago. So the folks that are out there that are totally deceived by the Schofield lies from the devil are they don't understand who they're dealing with. And they believe hook, line, and sinker that Genesis 12:3. Well, heck, my goodness, if we're blessed because we, support Genesis 12:3 without any regard to whether or not they're Semites, sons of Jacob, okay, which they're not. They're not, okay? The sons of Jacob, those are the Jews that are everywhere else but Zionist Israel. Oh, there's probably some, maybe, tiny percentage, according to the report by Johns Hopkins University, which the SOS made them take down off their website, by the way, which I have a copy of. It says that 80% of them, which is, you round it up to 10 million, minus the ones that died in the endless wars, then guess what? What does that leave you? About 2 million, right? So there should be about 2 million that are going to be, well, if they live long enough, they might be able to make it as part of the remnant of the good Jews that Jesus accepts their forgiveness after he comes back on the white horse after Armageddon, which, by the way, is captured when you read about the Jews in Romans 9, Romans 10, and then Romans 11. Suddenly it changes. Same thing with Zechariah 12. It suddenly changes. It's talking about those who are left at the very, very end, the remnant of the Jews. So it's kind of both. The answer is never is the light on. And the answer is never is the light off. The question, you can't ask a question and expect a singular answer. And that's exactly what you're getting from people. God bless them, like Candace Owens. I love these people. I love these people. This is not a dig. But Tucker Carlson and all these other people. To them, the light is either on or off. They're either good or bad. That's wrong. It's never like that. I believe, this is just my own personal belief, that around the early 1980s, when the educational system invented something new, it was called the multiple choice test. And you had to pick between A, B, C, or D. Well, what's interesting is everybody goes after, I believe it's A. All Jews are bad. No, it's a lie. I believe it's B. All Jews are good. No, it's a lie. Because they're Jews that are not Jews. Synagogue of Satan. Read the Bible. It says so. And why is so much said? And by the way, I want to complete that thought. The answer is always going to be C or D, all of the above. Are aliens demons? Well, ask Anna Paulina Luna right now, and she's going to tell you all aliens are demons. And I'm like, whoops, you get the buzzer, Anna Paulina Luna. That is not how it works. But that's how people's minds work. If one alien is demonic, they're all demonic. The problem is some of them are alive and in host bodies, just like the giants were. When you killed a giant, its energy life force went directly over and became a demon in the demonic realm. Okay, it was automatic. They were twice dead, as it says in the book of Jude. All right, you got to understand that. So you got both versions. You got those that are yea, saith the Lord of hosts, in host bodies that you can kill with a gun, but their energy goes straight over and becomes a demon immediately. They're twice dead. Strange flesh. So anyway, people just, you know, it's always going to be all of the above. And we never see that. We never see that. Oh, I can't understand why, you know, all the advisors around Draco T are, well, obviously they're misadvising him. No, you're not paying attention. First and foremost, if you know what the end game is for the SOS, it's world domination. Everybody but them are what they call Amalek, which means their only reason for life is to worship them. You also know that you've got Behold a Pale Horse, which says that one quarter of the earth faces death. The pale horse is death. What do we see happening around us? Farmers can't get stuff. They're blowing up refineries all over the place. There used to be 8 refineries that were active in Australia, but now they're down to 2. There's fires blowing up warehouses again full of food. They've taken away all of the fertilizer. Hold on a second. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. They've killed all the fertilizer. They're blocking farming. They're forcing horrible things. There's horrible things. And it's all on purpose. It's the death horse. The death horse. Well, isn't it fascinating that the individual on planet Earth that is leading the horse of death is a Scottish Rite warlock at the magician level, which is way, way above the 33rd degree. He can't, it, let's be accurate here. It cannot speak anything but lies. It's true. Megalomaniac, pathological liar, and deeply, deeply demon-possessed. A very powerful Draco reptilian indeed. And I have the proof on tribulationnow.com. 2 ends in the middle. Go there. Just listen to the testimony of the man that's beside the podcast guy with the ooh look on his face in the headsets. Just listen to his testimony. Yeah. Pretty much says it all. And if you keep on cruising and go back several more pages, you will discover, excuse me for my coughing, you will discover I even have captured it with the eye, you know, with the serpent eye. And in the Testament of Amran, which was located in the same caves as the Dead Sea Scrolls, in the Testament of Amran, there's a scripture in there where the author says, you there, you have eyes like a viper. What are you? And the entity responds back, we have been given, command over, to lord over man, or something along that line. I don't have it queued up, but I'm just saying, it's in the scriptures. They just took it all out. Anybody who trusts the Nicene Council to choose what should be in our Bible and what shouldn't be, they're so spiritually blind, they really just need to go to, I don't know, one of those churches, if you know what I mean. Worship around the Star of Remphan. Run up and down the aisles with your flags. Praise God for how wonderful it is that hundreds of thousands. Look, I can even tell you what the rationale is behind the babies. It's okay to kill the babies. After all, first off, they don't pay any attention whatsoever to the fact that there are hospitals, gazillions of Christian churches that are being crushed. This same stuff is happening in Lebanon right now. They are literally taking schools, big, giant schools with children in them, and they're just leveling them to the ground, just like they did with Gaza. Nothing has changed! You know why? Because they're creating the greater Israel. And that's all part of the return of their Messiah. And by the way, that's an appropriate sound, really, for what's coming out of their, you know, SOS slits. Very demonic. They can't touch me. I declare the holy fire of God around this house every single morning. Dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that any entity of the darkness, worker of Satan, live or dead human spirit, member of a witch coven, anything that cannot call Jesus its Lord and Savior, any demon of any type, at the moment that you set your wills against me, you shall be immediately struck by the holy fire of God. And I declare warrior angels to descend upon you and to cast you into the pit. And I declare the holy fire of God to weld the pit shut and plead the blood of Jesus to seal the pit, for only the Lamb of God can break the seals. All right. So anyway, I wanted to get that out there because it's very important to get your arms around. Oh, and by the way, one of my friends dug up the Rothschild, Darby, and Schofield connection document PDF from 2022, which is great. That's super great research. Praise the Lord. But it's worse than people think, folks. It really is. It's far, 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 far. Because think about it. Think about what's happening right now. They're praying over a Draco reptilian that has been designated by Lucifer, Satan, to practically become the pale horse and to destroy the West, because that's the goal. The goal is to destroy the United States of America. The goal is to destroy the West, which makes up Europe, it makes up Canada, it makes up the United States, it makes up Australia, it makes up all of these. Hey, if there's white people living there, you're probably part of the West. I mean, I don't want to go, want you to think I'm racist or nothing. I have nothing to say about any of that stuff. I'm just, it's an observation, and I'm not the only one who made it. And we already know what they're doing with all the other races. They're just, you know, it's all about the destruction. Complete, look, you have, and then on top of it all, you have the letter from Giuseppe Mazzini, and I'm going to see if I can find this. I probably won't be able to, folks, in the time that I need it. I really need to have these things queued up, but there's so much information. But anyway, nope, it's not coming up. I didn't think it would. Yeah, because there's just too much going on here. Yeah, no. I can try one more thing, but it's a long shot by any stretch. GLBA, no, I got so much going on with work right now that it's overtaking my Microsoft Word. It's like a cache. And wait a minute, show notes from... Okay, let me try this. Oh, okay. All right. Now, unfortunately, this is a very large document. Wait a minute. Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very large document, and it is highly encumbered to help me find what I'm looking for. And let me see. If I come over here and I click View and I tell it to put up the navigation pane, I should be able to go right here and find it. Oh, come on. Please materialize. The problem is my machine is completely... My machine's got a blue screen. Let me just put it to you like this. There was a letter written by Albert Pike. Albert Pike was the inventor. He was the creator of the Scottish Rite, which, by the way, is what Draco T belongs to. Okay, and he was an extremely evil man. He wrote the Book of Morals and Dogma, which is the Bible for the Masonic Lodge and the Scottish Rite. Okay, there, and it's so creepy and it's so dark. He admits that he worships Lucifer. He admits that he's had conversations with him, he wears a ring, and all this other stuff. Well, he wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini back in 68 or some darn time around there, and he states in there, there's going to be three world wars. Well, he used to bug me all the time. Why would he care about three world wars if he's living in the 1800s? And then it hit me. Those who worship Lucifer have a much closer and real relationship with Lucifer than Christians do with Jesus. So to Albert Pike, knowing about the coming three world wars was a big deal. And he wanted to send that information, and he did, over to Giuseppe Mazzini. And that letter was stored in a museum in the United Kingdom. And Bill Cooper had flown, before they killed him, before they murdered him. It was right after he announced that he knew that there was going to be a 9/11 attack on the World Trade Centers. They just killed him. They took him out. That's enough. That's what they do. They killed Phil Schneider. He was the one who was in the Dulce Wars and took a Walther PPK and shot a tall gray while it was shooting a laser beam at him and cutting his chest open. It's just amazing what people do not know. It just drives me nuts. They're so focused on these stupid little scout ships. Folks, if you had any idea what's really out there, what we're on the, I believe, seven levels, maybe, I don't know, but of Dulce, and there's other deep underground military bases that go far, and then there's the ones that are underwater. They're all over the place, but they're not from here. They're not coming from center Earth, okay? It's the universe is humongous. There's quadrillions of life forms out there. I even have a book that talks about a gateway, a portal into the eternal realm of the Creator that's located in the Orion Nebula. And where did that come from? That came from thousands of conversations with people who were talking to what? Fallen angels. Are 100% of every single otherworldly beings, non-Earth-born beings, are 100% of them bad? Well, not according to Daniel, because in Daniel 2:43 it says, I saw a watcher, a holy one. I saw a watcher, a holy one. Holy watchers, can't have those, can we? See, people don't read their Bible. I praise Jesus for my PC study Bible. I praise Jesus that I got the best one that money could buy before they went totally to the internet. I praise Jesus for that. Because I have, praise Jesus, 22 different translations at the ready. Probably about 12 full-blown commentaries at the ready. The Septuagint, the Hebrew text, the Greek text, the Englishman's Concordance, lexicons galore. It just goes on and on and on and on. So whenever I have a little bit of a challenge with something and I'm wondering about it and I do a little bit of digging, I'm like, hey, that's when I looked at Daniel 12, and it says, and they will be delivered. Well, if you look underneath that, you see that in the Hebrew, it means slippery escape. The slippery escape? What do you mean? Rapture. Well, I just had somebody that's supposedly part of, you know, thank you, Jesus, for coming outside of the tabernacle and said, that's insane. That's not my mother and my brother or my sister. These here who do the will of my Father are my mother and my brother. And my, you know what I mean? I love that. Because, you know, always have to pick a fight. I think we're all familiar with that. So, to me, I just want to avoid it. So the last fight was that, oh, the word rapture doesn't show up in the Bible. I'm like, oh, no. I said, yes, it does if you have a copy of the Latin Vulgate. The Latin word for the calling up is rapturos. And it was just argument after argument after argument. And I just pressed the red button and went beep. And that will officially be the last conversation I ever have with anybody that's part of my supposed. These are not my brother, and my sisters. These who do the will of my Father are my mother, my brother. You get it? Praise God. So, yeah, I'm stuck here. Yeah, I'm trapped. Yes, they jacked up the price of my house and everybody else's house in the entire. Yes, house sales are so low right now that you can't even, you can't quantify it. You got to, like, use, I don't know, the calculus equations to try to quantify how horrible the housing situation is. Anybody who's buying another house, I don't mean a new house, but another house, you're getting the satanic treatment is what you're getting. I was thinking of other words, but I wouldn't watch it. But anyway, the problem is, like, say if I sold mine, let's pretend that I got the Zillow or Zestimate or whatever for what my house is supposedly worth right now, which is absolutely insane. It's ridiculous. Nobody would buy it at that amount. I would end up having, let's say I wanted to go up north, but I don't. Who wants to wake up and go to work at 2 o'clock in the morning shoveling solid ice off of their car? Because hardly anybody up there has it. Unless the house was built within the last 20 years, they don't have garages. They don't have connected garages. You got to walk through 25 degree below zero with 75 degree wind chill factor between the half-baked garage. Some of them don't even have a half-baked garage. There's no connectivity between the houses. You have to park your car out in the middle of the snow drifts. And I got to do that and then drive 2 hours down to the Baltimore International Airport to do my job. I thank you not. No way. Forget it. I was insane. Nevertheless, not only that, but I have to go from the amount of square feet that I have right now. Not that I use it. It's too much to clean. I don't want anything to do with it. But I'm just saying, downgrade to like 1,100 square foot. Oh, for a mere $289,000, I can go to an 1,100. Look, my very first one-bedroom apartment was larger than that down here in Tampa. Oh, but it has a basement. Oh, thanks. Now I can go there and look at all the pipes and stuff that need to be covered up for only a mere $20,000 worth of, you know, Home Depot visits. Anyway, nevertheless, I'm done ranting on that subject. I just want to go ahead and move through the rest of this stuff. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So what we have here is an untold amount. It's just an unbelievable amount of stuff. So again, right now we're at the blockade. Remember what the end game is. Always, always remember the end game. The end game is to topple the West. The end game is to destroy the United States of America. The end game is what Netanyahu said multiple times regarding they failed to take out Rome the first time, but they're not going to fail to take out Rome the second time. Well, the only thing that even resembles Rome on this earth is the United States of America, which is a constitutional republic, which the only constitutional republic that ever existed in the entire history of the world was Rome. So when Netanyahu makes such a comment, he's talking about taking out the United States. That's why the entire Congress has dual citizenship. So they can go, whoopsie-daisy, time to go, whoosh, and go over to their buddies and pals and wait until they're executed, because that's exactly what's going to happen to them. Because as far as the Jabhat SOS people are concerned, they're only useful goy. But unfortunately, most people haven't been studying it for 15, 20 years, and they don't know what a useful goy is. So they're signing up for the escape mechanism. Maybe they didn't get their golden pager to the underground, and they're saying there's a lot of blah, 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 blah about the underground facilities and the underground protection. I'm just going to call them underground protection facilities that many of the extremely wealthy billionaires are creating. They're saying, oh, that's to protect us from, you know, no, I'm telling you right now, back in 2011, I was very good friends with a woman. I believe her name was Kathy. She almost picked up the phone and called me. It was very close to going to that, but we just talked in email, and she explained to me that her grandparents were billionaires and they were part of the elite. And she explained that the elite have pagers, very similar to the movie 2012. Okay, they had pagers to go into the Denver underground base and several other. They're all over the place. But anyway, to do that for the purpose of avoiding nuclear war. It's none of this tripe that everybody's saying that it is. It's nuclear war. They know nuclear war is coming. How could that possibly be, you say? Because Lucifer knows the Holy Bible far, far better than any person on the face of the earth. That's just how it is. He was here when he is. The Masons and the Scottish Rite call him the great architect of the universe. Well, he was at the architectural table. But he flips everything upside down, like it says in Isaiah 29. They turn everything upside down. And so they tell all the indoctrinate, all those that were invited to the 32 and 33-degree levels, they tell them, hey, okay, here's the secret of all secrets. The Holy Bible is actually encoded. You have to turn everything upside down, and then you understand who's who. So Lucifer is actually our God, the God of light, the God of love. Because that's the way they see him. He actually appears in the witch covens. He actually appears in these Kabbalah sessions. They know him. They've seen him. He's a very, when he shapeshifts into a human, he's a very good-looking man, like that Fox TV series called Lucifer. Okay? That's how he appears. Okay? But in the book He Came to Set the Captives Free by Rebecca Brown, M.D., Elaine had a relationship with that good-looking guy, and he shapeshifted back into his normal self, and she just about threw up all over herself. Didn't Paul say something like, even the devil himself can shift into an angel of light or something like that. I forget. I got to reread the New Testament. It's been a while since I did the whole thing again. I got to do it again. Anyway, praise God. I got to study the prayer vigil show notes again, too. There's so many scriptures in there. I've got stacks and stacks of laminated cards. Oh, boy, it's a big job. Hallelujah. All right, so we are 49 minutes into, the first hour of this program. Now, if you hear a bleep sound coming in, it's coming in from my computer. The reason I'm able to do this is I turned around. So, I got to make this announcement. Very important announcement. All right, if that blew your ears out, I'm sorry. I apologize. But you have the power in the name of Jesus to heal it. Did you know that? Okay. That was for me to make an announcement. For those of you who have lifted me up by name, I pray all the time in tears for you to receive a tenfold anointing and blessing for you and your family, even into all of eternity. Because to God, our time on the earth is not the end. Neither is it for us. Okay, also for every single listener of this program, I'm constantly praying for you to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now, all that being said, for those of you who took the time kindly as a fellow Christian to pray for me, I wanted to let you know that I got a response back on the car dent, the fraudulent bodily injury claim that was levied against me, was supposed to take me to court for well over $50,000 and could have completely annihilated me. After all this time, I got a call from my insurance company, and they said the lawyers are willing to sell for $10,000 under what you're covered for. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Okay, enough of that. All right, so anyway, that doesn't mean that the insurance company isn't still going to battle over every penny that they can battle over. It just means that I'm off the hook. And it better not come back to haunt me, or I'm going to have something to say about it. I may turn my guns, because as far as I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to praise God and thank you, every one of you, for praying for me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for those of you who have lifted up my recent job, which was cutting it to the skin of my chinny-chin-chin on deadlines, thank you, Jesus, for those prayers, because I just turned over the documentation to the QA team. It's really just one guy, but they like to make it sound important. Ah, it's the QA team. No, it's a dude with a bald head. But anyway, praise God. So anyway, it's been turned over, and now I'm expecting any minute now my boss to call me up and say, well, I'm going to put you on this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, so what you're saying is you're not going to let me breathe for 30 minutes. So anyway, I'm taking advantage of this time because I turned it over to QA, and I've got a little bit of time during the day to do this program. It's 2 hours, obviously, but I want to see what I can rifle through to bring you up to better speed of where we are. Now, I'm going to work my way down from the top this time because there we go. Hold on a second. I'll be right back. All right. Praise God. That particular alert was I connected my calendar to one of our messaging systems at work, and it's a very noisy thing, and I wish I knew how to unconnect it. But anyway, So I'm just going to work my way down. There's no rhyme or reason. There really isn't, because I had the rhyme or reason. I wanted to go ahead, though, and bring out to you the fact that, and I'm going to bring this up and read it to you. Now, this was published by Russia Today quite some time ago, actually. And I thought to myself, well, why is Russia Today, and what do they know that we don't know? And are their records better than other people's records? And la, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Well, it says, Baba Vanga predicted World War III in the year of 2026, from Russia Today. It says, the late Bulgarian mystic, who has been credited for predicting 9/11 and COVID-19, allegedly foresaw a global conflict, World War III, erupting this year, 2026. Her prophecies also included a massive alien ship entering the Earth's atmosphere in 2026. Now, I'm sorry, but you're not going to believe this. But not only is the blood pressure medication I'm taking right now give me a terrible dry mouth, but I just got given a new medication that also has dry mouth. I'm going to be like, that's an inside joke. Oh, anyways. So, turns out that the Baba Vanga lady, who was blind very early on, she was kind of ostracized a little bit because she was part of the Christian Orthodox group, and they don't believe in visions. They don't believe in the works of the Holy Spirit at all. Okay, are you following me? So when she was coming out and saying, I saw a vision of this and this and this and this and this, they're all going, get away from me, Satan, Satan, and putting a little cross on their fingers. See, therein lies the controversy around this lady who's referred to as the Baba Vanga. Now, is she right about this year? Well, you know, we got God calling audibles. We got all kinds of things and dynamics that are happening right now. Oh, my gosh, it's so hard to tell. And don't even get me going on Draco T and how he shifts and, you know, he spends all day long spewing lies, you know, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting, but we just have to hang in there. We need the patience of Job. But I wanted to bring this up because in the closing minutes of this hour, I'm going to repeat this because it merits repeating. God, I got afraid when the Lord first impressed upon my heart to start doing a radio show on Blog Talk Radio back in 2011, July. About, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 radio shows into it, I got scared because I realized the gravity that if I was saying anything wrong, they could end up sending somebody to the pit. That I was probably going to the pit too. Jesus does not like it when we say things that send other Christians to the pit. I can tell you that as a fact. Good luck with the Bema Judgment Seat for you. Now, I also am praying that when we are, I believe, counted worthy to escape all these things, that we're going to go straight to the wedding supper. Is that a wrongful belief? I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, that's what I'm hoping for. I think we should all be hoping for. Welcome, good and faithful servant. Let's hope. Praise Jesus. So the Lord told me as I was in tears outside of the back of my house, standing by my pole on the concrete, I was in tears looking up into the sky. And I said, Father, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. It's too serious. Well, what if I make a mistake? What if I do that? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this? I'm like bawling like a baby. And it wasn't an audible voice, and it wasn't like a lot of people say, like a rush of water and a giant and all this kind of stuff. It was like I could just hear it. I could so clear. And it was like, well, then forget everything you were taught in the church and listen to only me. That was like in 2011. Well, I decided I better follow those instructions. I haven't done perfect along the way. It's been a long, long journey. But one of the things which was interesting was that by then the Lord had already told me I need to focus on the UFO problem. I didn't know why. I didn't originally believe in UFOs. I was one of those guys that would walk through the Museum of Science and Industry at the Smithsonian Museum in downtown Washington, D.C., holding the hands of my daughter, and walk right past a 7-foot-tall Neanderthal skeleton or whatever and say, oh, well, as in the days of Noah and all that kind of stuff, we just don't, you know. No, the gap theory is not a theory. Even J. Vernon McGee said in his book, Through the Bible, God hath not given us all the details. He was talking about pre-Earth ages, which there were. There's no Darwin. None of that stuff. That's a cop-out. That's why it says in, I think it's Romans 1, that man has no excuse. He created the earth. It's amazing. So man would have no excuse. If you're delusional enough to believe in Darwin after looking around you, walking outside, seeing the unbelievable, just the critters that you can see, the bugs and the birds and the bees and everything else under the sun, the stuff under the ocean, all kind of things that they're finding right now, even now. And you can look at that and say, oh, you know, that was kind of an accident. Yeah, there was some primordial goo that was swirling around, and all of a sudden out popped a Tyrannosaurus. Shrimp fork, please. Hey, Spanky, give me a shrimp fork. I can't take it anymore. Hey, you guys don't want to see me use a shrimp fork, do you, Spanky? Come on. No, you don't. All right, that's cool. But you are being very patient and very interested in the program, right? Well, let me tell you something, kids. There's some stuff I'm going to be playing on the show that you kids don't want to hear. Not that I want to, but unfortunately, it's a necessary evil of this particular... What are you going to do? So I'm just going to work down, top down. All right, let's play this one. Here we go. La, 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 la. A lot of this is going to be censored, folks. I'm really sorry about
that. There's going to be a massive...
Okay. This is an ex-Pentagon colonel. Okay. Now I'm going to bring down the volume here a little bit because he's way overdriving the system. And that's the kind of problem. You just can't get around it. There's no way to normalize sound. Okay. I've had people tell me all kinds of things. Well, if you do this and do that... I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. You may be working with studio equipment. You may have special devices. It ain't happening on a PC connected to the internet. Forget it. Okay. Like my mom said, I wasn't born in a barn. Okay. Praise God. So I have to dork around with the sound sometimes to get a little bit of, I don't know, listenability from it. All right. Here we go. Listen to this. This is an ex-Pentagon colonel. Listen to this.
That there's going to be a massive, massive, huge, concentrated bombing campaign. And in fact, one of the sources says, listen, we are massing forces in the region. And to say that at this point in this, whatever it is now, the seventh week, I guess, of the war, that now we're massing forces during this ceasefire when we're allegedly trying to find a negotiated settlement indicates something really big is coming. So what these sources that I have told me and what we see physically with this aerial resupply. And with what Trump is saying here, you're starting to see the outlines of something that there's going to be a massive, massive, huge, concentrated bombing campaign.
All right. So it restarted itself. But anyway, you get the point. All right. So anyway, that's one person's opinion. Remember that that pretty much 99.99999% vinculum of the people that I play on this radio show, of the people that are on some form of social whatever out there, whether they're on YouTube, whether they're on X, whatever the case may be, do not understand the end game. Now remember, when the Lord, I got to watch my time here, but remember, when the Lord told me, I had already been instructed by God that I had to follow up on the UFO thing. It had to be a focus of my ministry. And then surprise, there it was. John Ting on Five Doves puts up, I used to monitor it all the time, a prophecy, a vision from the 90s from a guy by the name of David Doetry. And he drew a picture of a round copper ball spaceship, spherical and huge, he says. And he had been praying for like probably over a decade. I don't remember. I have played the radio show multiple times. I don't remember how long. But he was praying fervently for like 10 years or something like that. Please, Lord, show me the rapture. Please, Lord, show me the rapture. Well, he's passed on and gone to heaven. We've had him on the show, I think, a couple of times. But anyway, he lives an hour south of me. Well, he did. Now, if you go onto Google and you type, type brass spherical mechanical sculpture. Brass spherical mechanical sculpture, and see how many go to the images tab And look at how many of them there are all around the world. There's a lot. The two original were at the United Nations and the Vatican Library. Surprise, surprise, surprise. All right, so let's go ahead and plow through the rest of these. Because here's the thing with the David Doherty thing. I always forget to finish it. He said, when that thing, remember he got this word straight from the Lord. He said, the Lord showed me that when that giant spherical, mechanical, copper-shaped, riveted, gigantic spaceship shows up in the sky, everybody across the world, all 195 countries, will be staring at their televisions just like 9/11. He says, but you don't. You don't. You need to go to the store and get as much food as you can possibly carry for at least 3 weeks. But you know what? Never trust numbers from people that are getting visions or dreams, because those numbers are always wrong. And there will be people, I guarantee you, that have listened to one of these radio shows, and they're going to be like, well, that Johnny Baptist says it was 3 weeks, so I'm going to count it down. One with, you know, and it's like, okay, so I'm finished with that. So don't you just find it a little teeny bit interesting? Just a little. That the Baba Vanga said that World War III will essentially happen in 2026, and it will include the arrival of a massive alien spaceship entering Earth's atmosphere. Come on, guys. How far do you gotta stretch your ability to reason? To say, wow, that's amazing. Now, like I said, could it be longer? Could it be stretched out to 27, 28? Heaven forbid, I hope not. Sure doesn't look like it right now the way things are going. But we have to be prepared for anything. So be patient. Pray for patience. Pray for self-control. That's what I'm praying for right now. Because I get upset too quick. I do. All right, praise God, thank you, Jesus. And now brings us to the end of the first hour. Praise the Lord.